This is the TriDot Podcast. TriDot uses your training data and genetic profile combined with predictive analytics and artificial intelligence to optimize your training, giving you better results in less time with fewer injuries. Our podcast is here to educate, inspire, and entertain. We'll talk all things triathlon with expert coaches and special guests. Join the conversation and let's improve together.
Hey folks, welcome to the show. We've got a fun one today. Before we get rolling, if you could take a sec and leave us a rating and a review on the Apple Podcast app, we would love you forever for it. On the show today, we have two first-time TriDot Podcast appearances. Every triathlete has a story, and I am joined by an athlete and coach duo to hear about one TriDot athlete who has used triathlon to get healthy and took on a unique challenge last year. I am pleased to welcome to the show TriDot athlete Adam Cook. Adam has been in the family business since he was six, owning two tractor and lawn and garden equipment dealerships in Vicksburg, Mississippi. Adam also owns a frozen custard restaurant. He's been an active triathlete for 2 years now and is a three-time Ironman 70.3 finisher with one full marathon, several half marathons, and multiple sprint distance tries on his young resume. He just hit his 2 year anniversary as a TriDot athlete. So Adam, I usually try not to date when we record and post our shows, but today's a little unique. You are fresh off celebrating your 2 year anniversary on TriDot, and it's Valentine's Day. What a crazy coincidence. So from all of us at TriDot to you, happy Valentine's 2 year anniversary and welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Andrew. I'm excited to be here.
Also joining us is TriDot coach Doug Silk. Doug is an FBI special agent and TriDot coach based in Washington, D.C. He has raced over 100 triathlons since starting in the sport back in 2010. In those 100-plus races, he has 19 70.3s, 4.5 full-distance Ironman, and 3 adventure races. Doug has been coaching and training with TriDot since 2018. Doug, how's it going today, friend?
It's great. Thanks for having me.
I'm Andrew, the average triathlete, voice of the people, and captain of the middle of the pack. As always, we'll roll through our warm-up question, settle in for our main set conversation with Adam and Doug, and then wrap up with our cool down. Lots of good stuff. Let's get to it.
Time to warm up. Let's get moving.
A quick glance at both of your social media accounts shows an impressive amount of color-coordinated triathlon gear, with Adam going all in on eye-catching orange and Doug trending towards the high-vis neon yellows. The two of you combine to literally be a ray of sunshine. If you were upgrading a current tri item that does not currently match your color scheme of choice and buying it in orange or yellow to continue the theme, what item would you most want to match next? Adam, let's start with you.
Well, since I sell orange tractors and lawnmowers, orange is obviously my color. And I've had my eye on a pair of orange Bontrager Velocis cycling shoes for a while now. They will match my bike and my race kit.
Yep, that's a great pick. Got to get the shoes matching the rest of the kit for sure. Adam, tell everybody just kind of what are some of the tri items you have right now that are already in that orange color scheme?
My Speed Concept tri bike is orange. I got a new race kit this past season that is also orange and has my business name on it. I've got some orange running shoes, orange cycling gloves. I have several orange pieces.
Long story short, you cannot miss Adam out on the course. And Adam, I trust that you, on top of all the orange, you put the TriDot Ambassador visor or hat on for race day, correct?
I do.
Adam, on behalf of TriDot, I do apologize that our color scheme is red and black and not orange, so that your ambassador hat and visor doesn't completely match the rest of your kit, but so happy and so thrilled that you rep us anyway. You're the man. Coach Doug Silk, for you, I kind of mentioned just a moment ago, you kind of gravitate towards the neon yellows, that high-vis colorway. You have a mountain bike in that colorway. You have a Trek time trial bike in that colorway. Why does your eye kind of gravitate towards those neon yellow items?
Well, I think that a lot of times when you're out on course, you see a lot of people out on course, and it's kind of hard to track people, but it's easy for my wife to spot me because everything is neon yellow. My bike, my helmet, generally my kit. In fact, I'm currently designing a new Team Silk coaching kit. The biggest challenge I think for me is finding shoes that, like Hoka doesn't have a lot of great colors right now. so finding ones that are neon yellow is always a challenge. And of course, I'm still trying to convince TriDot to incorporate a neon yellow logo design at some point.
So Doug, we got to call Hoka and we got to show them your Team Silk tri-kit. We got to show them your bike and get them to make you a neon yellow kind of themed running shoe just to kind of complete your outfit on race day. We got to do it. We got to hook you up. As far as for me, you know, obviously the TriDot colors are red and black, and I was kind of already all in on the red and black even before I was on staff with TriDot, training with TriDot. My Merc time trial bike is red and black, and so when I came into the TriDot family as an athlete, it was just a natural fit to buy a TriDot kit and to rep that on race day, and so my kit already matches my bike, and I've got a black POC time trial helmet, and so most of my race day items already kind of are in that black and red colorway. The one thing that's not, though, when we go out for the swim course, you know, we're wearing a wetsuit or wearing a speed suit, and my wetsuit is black with blue logos. And obviously, you know, we have our TriDot swim caps, but we can't wear those on race day. You have to wear whatever color, you know, you're assigned by the race. And so there's no guarantee out on the race course that I can have something that is red and black out there on the swim. And so if DeSoto, my wetsuit of choice, I love their two-piece DeSoto T1 wetsuit. If they could make me one that was black with red logos, or black even with a red TriDot logo instead of the black and blue logos that they come with by default, that would be my way of getting black and red out there on the swim course, which is the only part of the race where I do not have that color currently. So that would be my pick. But hey, our audience, we want to hear from you guys. We're going to throw this out on social media. So go find the I Am TriDot Facebook group, and this question will be put out there. I'm going to give Doug and Adam some homework. I definitely want you guys to post some pictures of what we've talked about. You know, we need a race day picture of the two of you in your Team Silk kit, in your bright orange Cook Tractor kit. But we're going to ask the audience, what is your color scheme of choice? Are you an all black kind of guy or gal? Do you like a bright color of some sort? Do you kind of mismatch and just go all out, and it's a little different every time? Whatever your color scheme is, let us know what it is, and then tell us what would be the next item you would want to purchase to continue matching that theme.
On to the main set. Going in 3, 2, 1.
I've said it before, and I'll say it over and over again. I truly believe the everyday triathlete is the heartbeat of the sport. There, of course, is such thing as an average athlete, but there is no such thing as an average athlete's story. I never get tired of hearing about your experiences in the sport. And today I have Adam and Doug with me to share their stories and talk about their coach-to-athlete friendship. So guys, nobody is born a triathlete. We all have that decision day where we give the sport a look, sign up for a race, and it's on from there. Tell me how you both got into the sport in the first place. And Doug, you've been a triathlete longer than Adam and I both. So let's start with you. How did you get started way back in 2010?
Well, I had a friend of mine that we were both huge Lance Armstrong fans. And So we used to watch the Tour de France all the time. And Lance was having a 90-mile Livestrong challenge in Austin, Texas. And for 4th of July in 2010, he basically said, hey, I'm going to bring a bike over for 4th of July. It's 15 miles between my wife's house and my sister's house, and we'll ride in between. I was like, oh, how hard can that be? famous last words.
Yep.
I sucked on his wheel the whole time. It was windy because it was Naples, Florida, so it's windy and hot.
You're on the coast.
Yes. I got done. My butt hurt. My legs hurt. I was pretty much done. And I was like, there's no way I'm doing this again. Then 2 days later, he's like, come on, get back on the bike, do it again. I was like, all right, let's do it. So we did it again. And he started talking to me about going to Austin with him and doing this Livestrong challenge. So he's like, look, I'll let you borrow this bike and you can just start riding. And I said, okay, let me see how I like it. After a couple weeks of riding 3 days a week, I really fell in love with just cycling and being outside and seeing how much ground I could cover. So I was like, all right, I'm in. And he's like, okay, so now that you're in on that, there's a triathlon in like 3 weeks. And I was like, okay, is that like the swim bike run thing? And he was like, yeah. And he's like, it's not going to be hard at all. It's like 400 meters swim, a 13 mile bike and a 5K. And I was like, okay, I could probably do that. So I went down to the beach. I mapped out this 400 meter section and I swam haphazardly out in the water.
As well as you knew how to swim, right?
Yes. And I was like, oh, as long as I can get through that, right? So we get out to the race, and that morning it was the Miami Vice. They called it Miami Nice. It was a sprint distance race. And we were the last crew to go because at the time I weighed 255 pounds. So I was racing Clydesdale. And so we were the last group to take off. Well, about half of the waves started and a huge thunderstorm came in and they pulled everybody out of the water. And we were like, all right, are we even going to get to go? And then they got everybody in the water once the storm passed and we started going. Well, we get like 12 minutes into the swim and I'm at the turnaround point. And I was thinking that should be where I'm finished.
Uh-oh.
And we got back to shore and he and I were like the last two swimmers in, and I'm yelling at him like, what happened? And he said, I think it was 750 and not 400 meters. We get off the swim, we get on the bike, we're riding together, and I get a penalty for drafting because I had no idea. I start the run, I start cramping on the run, basically have to walk the whole thing. And I crossed the finish line and immediately said, when is the next one?
It's amazing that after all of that, you know, it didn't go well. Yes. It didn't go right. And after all of that, the response to the finish line was just that, like, hey, when are we doing this again?
There was nothing that went right about the day. And what I loved about it was I played college sports. I played college basketball. And if I had a good game, we could still lose.
Yeah.
What I loved about triathlon was what you put in is what you get out. And there's nobody else to blame. It's just you. So I set a goal to get better. And I dropped 50 pounds in 3 months. And the next race that I did was 4 months after that. And I placed third in my age group.
Wow. So, that's great.
And I just tried to learn everything I could about the sport and how to get myself better.
And now you're a certified triathlon coach. You're having success with TriDot and over 100 races later. You've come a long way, Doug, come a long way. So Adam, for you, getting in the triathlon was part of a much more meaningful weight loss journey. Tell us about where you started, what you changed, and where you are now in your health journey.
Well, Andrew, for those who don't know my story, 3 years ago, my weight had ballooned to 475 pounds. And I decided I had to do something to kind of take my life back for my kids. We were in Disney World and I couldn't ride any of the rides. I couldn't fit on any of the rides, couldn't walk around. And I was like, you know, I've got to do something to take my life back. And I elected to undergo gastric sleeve surgery in January of 2018, which for those that don't know, reduces the size of your stomach to roughly the size of a banana.
Wow.
So it lowers your food intake, obviously. I told my surgeon before the procedure that my goal was to do an Ironman race, and he just kind of looked at me like I was crazy, because I'm sitting there almost 500 pounds talking about going to do a triathlon, but I was completely serious. That was my goal.
I'm sure he had never heard that before from somebody sitting on his table. Yeah.
He looked like I was crazy, but I was serious. And I initially lost 130 pounds in the first 3 months after the surgery. And then I began to run and ride my bike, and I lost another 100 pounds after that. I then discovered TriDot and signed up with Doug as my coach. And in the first year, I completed 3 sprint triathlons. And then I ultimately completed my goal of Ironman 70.3 Augusta in September of 2019.
Adam, that's just incredible. I love that you were on the table with the doctor and just you already had that dream of being a triathlete, you know, way before you had the health to do so. So from all of that, you know, what is your weight down to now?
I got down to just a hair under 250. It's up a little right now due to the last year's training and not really focusing on what I need to. But Doug and I are working on that. He's on me every day about that.
You guys started working together as an athlete and coach and quickly developed a friendship that you proudly display on social media as a tri-bromance. There's an epic picture of you guys on social media after a local race where you're posing on the podium prom style, as if you guys were prom dates, and it was hilarious. It would have been very difficult for somebody to miss that post on the I Am Trot Facebook group with the amount of comments and likes that it got and with the bright tri-kits you guys were wearing. Doug, tell me about those early days working with Adam and how you've seen him develop as an athlete over that time.
Well, I was honored that Adam reached out to me, and I think that I have a special and a unique ability to understand Clydesdale athletes because I have been one, and I struggle with weight. I go up and down when I'm not training effectively. So when Adam reached out to me, I was really struck by his story, and I could also tell that he had a very strong drive and he wanted to do great things. So when we started working together, it was great right from the beginning. He was eager and he was thirsty for knowledge. And so we talked all the time, and eventually we began talking every day, sometimes on several different platforms. and we built this friendship that was built off of trust and confidence. And then, you know, now I consider him one of my best friends, which is difficult sometimes when you're coaching.
Yeah,
because you're having to tell your best friend to suck it up and do what he doesn't want to do.
Yeah.
And when he doesn't want to do it, sometimes that line can get blurry of whether is this your friend telling you this or is this your coach telling you this? And so, but we have maintained that very well. And I think a lot of that comes with communication. And that's what I love about TriDot. It gives me this ability to be able to communicate with my athletes on a very personal level. And I truly do believe that, Adam is a part of my family. So, I'm very thankful that he found me, and it has helped me kind of relight the fire in myself by watching him and his drive. So it's been great.
Yeah, and I'm sure every TriDot coach listening to this has an athlete or two or three on their roster who just have a story that just pushes them and inspires them and reminds them of why they love the sport of triathlon so much. Adam, for you, having Doug's guidance and his friendship in your corner for those first sprints, for that first 70.3 Augusta, how has it impacted your experience in the sport?
Well, I honestly signed up for TriDot just kind of on a whim. I got one of the emails about the preseason thing, and I went full in with the full coaching package right off the bat. And I selected Doug out of the list of coaches because he, like me, was a former college athlete and had experience with the bigger Clydesdale athletes like myself. Like he said, we kind of exchanged one email and then a phone call. And as they say, the rest was history. And I tell people I didn't know when I signed up for triathlon, I was also gaining a triathlon coach. I was also gaining a best friend because Doug and I, like he said, we literally talk every single day about training, life in general. And we also exchange the best memes every day. The knowledge and the down to earth real world approach he brings to coaching has been beyond life changing for me, especially on race day and surviving on the race course when the unexpected happens. I mean, just little things that, you wouldn't know from reading a book and things like that. I mean, in Augusta last year, when I got on the run course, the heat index was over 100, and
geez,
we had talked about a race plan the day before. And I mean, just small things like at the water stop of pouring one cup of water on your head. And then he literally told me to throw one cup on my crotch to keep your core cool. And that's something I wouldn't have.
Yeah.
And so we did one cup of water on the head, one cup of water on the crotch. We drank Gatorade. We shoved ice down the front of our trot suit and we went to the next water stop.
Yeah.
I probably wouldn't have survived that day. Just the little things like that he was able to give me that I wouldn't have known.
I mean, to have your first 70.3 be such just a hot, miserable, you know, day out there on the run course. I mean, to have that coaching expertise, to have those tips that Doug was able to talk through with you pre-race, I mean, that just shows so much the value, right, of the coach-athlete relationship. But Adam, something else really cool from last year, you made it a goal in 2020 to run at least 1 mile every day. And many of us, we enjoyed your daily updates. You know, you would post to Facebook often with where you did your mile, when you did your mile, and to show that you did, in fact, run 1 mile every day. What inspired that mission in 2020?
Well, after we finished up the 2019 tri season, I was kind of in a lazy rut, per se, and didn't do much working out the last few months of the year. So I started on January 1st, and I said, I'm going to go out and run a mile today. And it actually started as kind of a joke on my Facebook post that day. I said, I ran a mile every single day this year, which, duh, it was only the first day of the year.
One for one.
Yeah. Then I decided I was going to try to keep it up. You know, Doug kind of tried to talk me out of it at first because, you know, integrating it with my other training. But then he was like, hey, if you're going to do this, you need to go do it. Do it, you know. And so I decided to document it on Facebook every day with the hashtag I Beat Obesity, and in hopes of inspiring other people to change their life and that anything is possible if you put your mind to it.
Yeah, for me, when he says I tried to talk him out of it, at first I wanted him to understand the training fatigue that it would produce for him if, you know, he wasn't used to that. But when we actually started talking about it and, you know, made sure that he was running those miles in zone two and not going out there trying to kill it, we had to walk him back a few times because he'd get so excited and go out and run super fast. And I'm like, look, we have other training goals to hit. And I was so proud of watching his journey that it became, you know, some days I'd be like, hey, have you gotten it in yet? Because I haven't heard from you about it. And I was as excited as he was. So it was great.
So throughout the year, you know, you've got your normal training sessions, you got your swim days, your bike days, your run days. And so the run days, I mean, that was easy. You just did your run session and within whatever your running session was, you were completing a mile by default. But then you had to run a mile on top of your normal swim and bike sessions. Was there ever a point in the year where you just wanted to call it quits? Maybe the weather was bad. Maybe you were just weren't feeling it that day. Maybe you were tired from your normal tri training sessions. What was there ever a point where you almost called it off?
Ironically enough, I picked a leap year to do this. So I had a whole extra day to run. But yeah, there were several times I ended up running in the rain or 10 o'clock at night just to get it in. I even ran 2 days on the treadmill when I had a fever of over 102.
Wow.
Against my wife's wishes, I might add. Honestly, what helped me not quit was the documenting it on Facebook and
peer pressure.
Too.
Yeah.
And peer pressure, because I would post run at least 1 mile every day this year, day, yada, yada, yada. And I'd see people around town or they'd come in my store and they would ask me, have you ran your mile yet today? And honestly, along with wanting to do it for myself and then not disappoint people who cheered me on, it kept me going.
So that last mile, December 31st, 2020, how did you feel as you completed the last mile of that last run?
I was actually out of town. I was in Fort Worth for the Mississippi State Football Bowl game, and it was pouring down rain and 30 degrees. So I ended up running it on a treadmill at Planet Fitness. And like I said, it felt great to accomplish the feat because I don't really know many people who have been crazy enough to do that. But at the same time, I was kind of relieved it was over because, and for the record, like I said, on January 1st of this year, I did not run a mile.
Better follow-up question. How did Mississippi State do in their bowl game?
We won. Didn't win a whole lot last year, but we did win the bowl game.
So when you started your 1 mile every day campaign on January 1st, there was no way to know that 2020 would go in the direction that it did with just all the race cancellations, the deferrals, etc. How did you guys as athletes, you know, just stay focused and stay positive in the middle of such a wild season? And how did you just keep at it with the training each and every day?
Yeah, I think it was extremely difficult for me personally with races because some races didn't cancel till the last minute. So, you know, you were training full up onto the race. And then I know it's like 70.3 Texas. They canceled 3 days before the race.
Yeah, and I know 70.3 Lubbock out in West Texas. I mean, same thing. I mean, people had already traveled. People had made their way out, and just days before the race, I mean, same thing. It just got axed.
Yeah, I woke up that morning getting ready to get my boys up and in the van, and, you know, everybody packed up. My bike was already there with Tri-Bike Transport, and I was ready to go. And then Adam texts me at midnight because he was up and saw the text message because we were supposed to race that race together. So it was extremely difficult. And we tried to keep, I know Adam and I were in communication all the time, and I just kept trying to keep him motivated. And that would also keep me motivated because, you know, a lot of times as a coach, you face the same issues that your athletes are having.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've reached out to John Mayfield and said, "Hey buddy, I'm having a hard time right now with my training." And, you know, he's been great for me. And Adam and my other athletes have been great for me also, because they keep me motivated and we kind of, you know, keep each other going. And I think that's what 2020 has done for everybody, is we've learned to rely on our friends and family a whole lot more than maybe than what we did before. So that's at least one positive that I've taken out of this is the ability to rely on my friends to pick me up. And I hope that I'm doing the same for them.
So Adam, for you, I mean, did having that 1 mile every day goal, did that help you stay motivated in your training for the season? Did that kind of, you know, give you something else to kind of focus on besides the craziness of the back and forth with race schedules and whatnot?
It helped to give me, you know, I had one goal with that to focus on that I knew I was getting in, but it was hard in the racing because it was early on. It was like a letdown emotionally and mentally to do all this training and then the race not happening. But Doug kept me focusing on the fact that we were eventually going to race one day, and we had to be ready. And, especially with Deep South that was coming in the fall, Deep South Triathlon.
Yeah, we got lucky. After Ironman Maryland, I decided to go ahead and pull the plug even before they did. And because I wasn't going to be able to do Deep South Triathlon with Adam, but once I canceled Maryland, I was in discussions with Adam about whether or not Deep South was going to happen. And when it looked like it was, I made the commitment to go there and do that 70.3 race, and we got to race together. So it was fantastic.
Yeah, let's talk about that race just a little bit, because Adam, your company, Cook Tractor Company, was the primary race sponsor for the Deep South Triathlon. Both of you guys raced it. TriDot podcast regular Coach Jeff Raines raced it, along with many other TriDotters. You know, so for you, Adam, what was it like kind of experiencing another side of the sport, kind of going behind the scenes of a race as an official race sponsor, helping get the race organized and going?
First of all, it gave me a newfound appreciation for the race directors and what they endure to make these events actually happen behind the scenes. It also kind of nice to be involved in some of the planning of the race, like designing the medals and the swag and getting a, you know, premium bike rack spot right next to the porta potty. And I even got to park my motorhome right next to Transition. So Doug and I got to spend the night and gave us a short walk to Transition on race morning.
Very nice.
It was awesome to finally share the course and the race day with my coach. And there's an awesome video of me running down the finish chute, and Doug is standing at the finish line holding my medal, jumping up and down, screaming, get here," because we knew I was close to my 70.3 PR, which I ended up beating by 2 minutes, by the way. But like you said, then we got to share some pretty nice prom pose pictures together on the podium after the race as well.
Yep. No, that's awesome. It sounds like it was an awesome race. And Adam, you, of course, got to do a couple of races during 2020, which really was a gift. I mean, any of us that got a race in, you know, that wasn't the norm. Most athletes did not. So for those of us who were able to line up and get a race in, it was just a gift to be out there on course again. Adam, for you and the races that you got to do, what were some of the highlights for you from the 2020 season?
The biggest one was October, getting to do Deep South 70.3 here in Mississippi. And I got to do several local 10Ks and 5Ks. And I had the privilege to run the Mississippi Gulf Coast Half Marathon in December with the Ainsley's Angels group. And I pushed 180-pound awesome individual in a race chair for the whole 13.1 miles. So that was a little extra challenge in itself.
Yeah, no kidding. So, Doug, for you, I mean, you raced the Deep South Tri as well. And you also did some adventure racing in your 2020 season. Tell me about your on-course experiences last year.
Well, like you said, I got to do Deep South, which was an amazing venue. The race directors put on a fantastic race. So if you can get to that race, I highly recommend it. It's in a beautiful swim. The bike is kind of rolling, but really nice. And the run is great. And I actually set a PR for the first time in about 7 years at the 70.3 distance. I knocked 9 minutes off of my PR. So a lot of that was being driven to get back so that I could be ready for Adam and cheering him to the finish line. So it was awesome to be on course with him and Jeff and a lot of other Tri-Dot athletes. I remember seeing them out on the course, and that's just a fantastic feeling to know that you have teammates out there in a place that you might not know anybody.
Yeah, I mean, it really adds so much to race day, right? To be out on course, you know, in the Tri-Dot kit or in a Tri-Dot hat, and to see other athletes in that, and whether you've met them or not, whether you know them or not, you know, you know you come from the same tribe. And I mean, at Challenge Daytona, I got passed by a guy on the bike course who's wearing a Tri-Dot kit. I caught up to him on the run course and chatted, you know, briefly and literally met him on the run course in our Tri-Dot kits. On the Daytona Motor Speedway. And now whenever I see Troy post to the I Am Tri-Dot group, it's like, oh, I know him. I've met him. We're race friends from Daytona. So it really adds a lot to the race day experience. And it makes sense that having so many Tri-Dot athletes do the Deep South Triathlon that it really added to you guys' race day.
It was. And, you know, other than triathlons, obviously, most of those got canceled. But I got the bug with adventure racing after watching the Eco Challenge, and I decided to give it a shot. I did a 6-hour race with my wife, and then I took on a 12-hour course with my buddy Charles, and we were one of only 5 teams to finish and clear the whole course.
Wow.
And, you know, for those that don't know what adventure racing is, it's compass and map navigation, it's mountain biking, it's canoeing. There's a lot of different things that they could add in there. And I'm really excited about adventure racing because it keeps you engaged the entire time. There's no lull in the action. If you haven't watched Eco Challenge, go watch it. If you're a triathlete, I think you might really enjoy it. I'm really looking forward to, in April, I'm doing a 24-hour race with Charles and a couple of other friends here, David and Alan. We're going to be a 4-man team, and we're doing the 24-hour race here in April. And we're pretty stoked about it.
So with the day-to-day triathlon scene, right? Like you can go to Ironman's website, you can go to USA Triathlon's website, you can go to a website like trifinds.com or a race company's website to find a race to sign up for. With these adventure races, I mean, where do you even go to get into these things and find where races are, when they're happening, and how to register?
You know, I just Googled some of the local ones, and once you find them, then you go on their Facebook pages, and then they'll update you with races. I was lucky enough to, last 2 weeks ago, I did a 9-hour adventure race here. It was 11 degrees at the start.
And wow.
Which was not fun. I was not really enjoying that part of it, but we had a great day, and I finished 7th in the solo category.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I mean, it's pretty humbling because it's such a new experience. So being out there, I feel like I'm constantly learning. Even in triathlons, I feel like every race, even sometimes every training session, I learn something about myself or something that I can put forward. But in this, like, everything is new. So it definitely is a different feeling.
Yeah. And I think I would encourage triathletes listening to this to just kind of be reminded that there are other ways other than racing a tri to get to test out the fitness you've gained with the swim, bike, and run training. I mean, there's adventure races like you're doing, things that are outside, things that are outdoors, things that are in the woods, things that don't necessarily rely on a big mass group of people gathering together. There are things like what you did, where you decided to kind of create a challenge for yourself and run 1 mile every day and just make that a goal for the year. There's all sorts of things, you know, that athletes can do to take the fitness we've gained, you know, to take the hard work we put in our training and have some fun with it. And I think for triathletes, you know, we're cautiously optimistic that racing is going to be back this year and better than ever. But even if it's not, or even if you choose just to kind of sit out another year or a couple months to kind of wait for things to settle down before you sign up for a race, there are other things you can do. And I love the example that you guys have set. I love the challenges you've both been able to take on. And I would love to see more of our athletes, you know, find creative ways to take their hard-earned fitness and apply it. So, thanks for sharing about your races, guys. And just to switch gears a little bit, you know, something else just from seeing both of your social media accounts and being friends with you guys, a big thing for you both is spending time with your family. And both of you just have very active kids and very active families. How has triathlon and your participation in the sport given you a platform that kind of set an example of a healthy, active lifestyle for your kids?
Well, I think for me, my wife and I are both very competitive, not only in the sport of triathlon or running races, but with each other. And, my boys are 4 and 2, and, you know, they're sponges for everything. Dax, when 70.3 Texas canceled, he was supposed to run the kids race at 70.3 Texas. And Iron Kids actually sent the race bib and the medal and everything to the house. And we mapped out a half mile course, and he was so excited to do it. We had a finish line for him, and he wants to do what daddy does. And, it's really special for me. Every time I come home from a race, first of all, when I go to a race, my wife says, podium or don't come home. And that's not always possible.
Uh-huh.
But it always pushes me to try. And every time I walk in the door, my son is waiting for my medal. And so they know what we're doing and they're watching. I started doing 100 pushups a day, and I started having my athletes do that. When we're not able to get in the pool, because that can also help strengthen your upper body.
Yeah, no kidding.
And my 2-year-old will jump on my back and say, daddy, push up. They're always watching. And, I hope to just inspire them to step outside their comfort and, to push themselves to be the best that they can be in anything that they do.
Adam, your daughter is already an incredible athlete herself. Does watching her train for her own events kind of inspire you to get up and put in the work every day for yourself?
It does, because, honestly, I don't like to admit it, but I missed out on a lot of her sporting events when I was, overweight, because I was tired or didn't want to walk to go see this, or, was sitting in the car. And so changing my life with the weight loss and getting active has allowed me to be a much bigger part of their daily lives and attend all their school and sporting events. So my daughter is a 4-sport varsity athlete at her school. And I even got her to do the Mississippi Kids Triathlon this past summer. And she said it was going to be her one and only race. So we'll see.
Famous last words.
A lot of us have said that.
Yeah, I said that one day too. But she is she's a great swimmer. That's her sport. She's the defending Mississippi Private School champion and the state champion in the 50 and 100 freestyle. So only if I could take after her in my swimming, I'm sure Doug would agree.
Adam, what is her like 50 and 100 time?
Her 50 time is like 25, 26 seconds. And she makes it look so easy. I mean, and that kids triathlon that she did, I had the video of her swimming, and she just opened, it was her first time ever open water swimming, and she just made it look so easy. And I'm like, yeah, over here, like, I'm like, just flopping around in the water.
Guys, as we head into the new season, kind of like I said, optimistic that the world is working its way back to health and race schedules will begin to look more and more normal. What are you guys targeting next? What are your current hopes, dreams, goals, and kind of the next chapter of your tri journeys?
I think for me this year, I had some pretty big goals last year for races, and I was really pushing my training to try to set PRs at the 70.3 and Ironman distance. And, only Florida happened last year, so only some people got to race fulls. But this year I'm hopeful that maybe Maryland will happen again. And if so, I'm hoping to set a really big PR there. I'm hoping to also push that 70.3 PR a little bit, faster. So, and most importantly, I'm really excited about these adventure races. I know I kind of got called out by John Mayfield on this podcast, Elizabeth James is going to be on our hopeful, eventual Eco Challenge team.
And she took John's spot, right? Is that what I heard?
Well, it wasn't really a taking anybody's spot, but I mean, if you had to choose between Elizabeth James and John Mayfield, who would you pick?
You know, I need to take the audio from that episode. It was episode 61. In the warm-up question, I asked Coach John Mayfield and Coach Elizabeth James if they were to do a race that was not a triathlon, that was something out of the box, not a typical road race, what would they pick? And they both said that they would want to do an eco challenge. And so let's do this, Doug. Let's throw to this audio. I'm going to put this audio in the episode, and we're going to hear from Elizabeth and John themselves exactly what you're talking about, that moment where John kind of threw you under the bus for replacing him on the Doug Silk Eco Challenge team. Here is a little bit of the audio from episode 61.
It's extreme.
Well, I've never heard of the Eco Challenge.
So I want like the glamping version. I want like a 3 or 4 hour version where I don't have to sleep in a tent and like I don't get bug bites or anything like that. But I want to like go and like climb on some rocks and swim in the river. But
I feel like that kind of defeats the point, though. Like,
probably does. Yeah.
Elizabeth, what about you? What will your kind of race of choice be if it's non-triathlon, non-mainstream, something different and unique? What are you picking?
Well, John absolutely stole mine.
Eco challenge? That's
yes,
your answer to?
That is exactly what I was going
to
say.
I've never heard of this, and both of you guys are saying this.
Now, I do have to admit that I just recently heard about this, but since that time, I've already got my team established, and they've started training. So, I mean, big shout out here to Doug Silk, Charles Girard, and oh my gosh, this is embarrassing. I don't even know his name, but the Air Force instructor that teaches land navigation.
This is like forgetting one of the Avengers if you're an Avenger like this.
Yeah, and that's pretty bad. I have not met him yet, but I'm excited, and kind of to that point, I'm also relieved that I don't have to be the navigator for my team. We've got an expert in that role, but yeah, I mean, already kind of have a team together. We've looked into this, and the endurance aspect and the long distances is an intriguing part for me. You know, I'd say it would sound to be like a little head-to-head competition there, but
Team Mayfield versus Team James on the same Eco Challenge race.
No, so I'm actually just awesome. Now finding out that I was replaced
on this team.
Yeah, because my boy Doug was like, "Hey, come do this Eco Challenge race," and I was like,
"And now he's doing it with Elizabeth."
Yeah, but
we have like, some tried out drama up in here.
Maybe I'm second pick here. I don't know.
I'll just say good call. Like I don't blame him at all.
That was a smarter call. Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Props.
Yeah, and so Doug, in the end, even John Mayfield on that episode agreed with you that you made the right call. I agree that you made the right call.
Yes.
If I were going to pick somebody from the TriDot team to be on an Eco Challenge team, I would pick Elizabeth James. And that's no knock on me. That's no knock on Coach John Mayfield. That's no knock on Coach Jeff Raines. You know, a lot of great athletes in there, but Elizabeth is just a top-notch athlete. So yeah, we all get it.
No, and honestly, I would have been honored to have either one of them. But you have to have a female, and even though John's hair is kind of long, I don't think that that they would count him in that realm. And so Elizabeth is going to you know, basically destroy the rest of us on our team, and I'm hoping that she'll be able to pull us along. I know if you've watched Eco Challenge, they tied a rope around the one guy and was pulling him along. That'll be me behind Elizabeth probably for most of the race. So
yep.
I'm excited about it.
Yeah, well, and I know Coach John Mayfield is scheduled to do Ironman Maryland. Doug, you are scheduled to do Ironman Maryland. We're hoping Ironman Maryland happens. And so Coach John Mayfield and myself will most likely be there. So we'll be excited to see you there in person and get to cheer you on. And I encourage all of our athletes listening to punch both of you guys into the tracker that day and watch how you do as Ironman Maryland unfolds. Adam, for you, you know, what are kind of your target races and your goals for the year?
I'm just hoping racing actually, you know, happens this year to get back to, you know, whatever normal is going to be from now on. I said, I've got Chattanooga 70.3 on the calendar in May and my Deep South Triathlon 70.3 again here in October. And Doug keeps trying to entice me into a 140.6 with him. And ultimately it's my goal to do that before I turn 40. So I'm down to a year and a half we've got left to get that done. So
it's coming, buddy. Don't try to walk away from it now.
Great set, everyone. Let's cool down.
While I have Adam and Doug with me today, I thought I would keep them on just a little bit longer for the cool down. Guys, our audience hears from me all the time in regards to the gear that I'm using, the nutrition I like, etc. So before we sign off today, you know, what are maybe two or three tri items that have just made a huge difference for you that you would encourage folks to go check out?
Well, I tell all of my athletes, I think the two biggest things that you can upgrade for yourself to make yourself more efficient are power meters and the DI2 electric shifters. But power meter is probably the single greatest upgrade that you can have, in my opinion, because it affects both your training and racing, and it'll give you benefits in each. It'll allow you to target more in your training, and then on race day, it'll help you maintain what you should be doing where there are other factors that can affect your heart rate. So I think that that's huge. I think the DI2s are important if you live somewhere where there are hills or constant changes of elevation. You know, if you live in Florida, maybe it's not the first upgrade that you want to make.
Yeah.
But if you're racing or doing things other places, it's been a huge help for me to do. And then I also think that having a smart trainer goes right along with the power meter because it allows you. I mean, I can't tell you, I probably rode 2 times outside last year. Everything else has been on my trainer. So I just throw on Netflix and, you know, I put my stuff, I put my Tri Dot workout into Zwift and I let it go. And so I'm getting 99s and 100s on every one of my workouts.
Yeah.
And, you know, it correlated into a really fast bike time at 70.3 at the Deep South Tri. So I think that if you can have that, and then I think just for comfort, I know that Adam and I both use the Aftershock headphones, which I like for both if you want to use them on the bike or the run, because it allows you to hear everything that's going on around you.
Yep, I do have a pair of the Aftershocks headphones. Big fan of wearing them for workouts. Adam and I are both actually wearing them right now to you know, hear each other on this interview. And so, Adam, for you, you know, what are a couple items you would encourage folks to check out?
Well, I'm gonna mirror and steal some of Doug's answers here. I definitely agree on the Aftershock headphones. Doug actually introduced me to those at the Ambassador Camp last year and let me try his out. And that's all I've used since then. To me, much safer when you're out, like I said, running or biking on the road. You can hear your music and whatnot, and you can still hear everything around you. So it's much, much safer. And then I would definitely agree on, you know, the smart trainer, even though Doug's going to say that I don't use mine near enough. I think that's a very wise investment that helps with integrating the Tri-Dot program to the fullest of its potential.
And if I can add one more thing, I think that, you know, often overlooked is nutrition, right? I mean, we talk about it all the time. And I don't think it gets practiced enough while you're doing your workouts.
Yeah.
We practice it on our long runs and long rides, but we don't always practice it, you know, in the other times. And, you know, I've done all kinds of things from Infinite Nutrition, to Basalt, whatever, currently, and in the past I've used Gatorade Endurance, and that's what's on the course. So if you want to practice what's on most Ironman courses, you really need to start using the things that are out there so that you don't have to carry so much on the course. You know,
yeah, that's a great point.
You're about to do your first, full Ironman. And I'll tell you, that gets to be very difficult to figure out how you're going to incorporate and get the nutrition that you need in the middle of the race, unless you can start incorporating the things that are on courses. So, you know, that Gatorade Endurance formula is built for endurance athletes. It has twice the sodium and 3 times the potassium of regular Gatorade. So it's built to give you the electrolytes that you need for that distance. So I highly recommend using that as well.
Yeah, my brother and I, when we were teenagers, you know, we both had dirt bikes, and there was a really big dirt bike park in Central Florida where we lived, and we would go ride dirt bikes for the day in the woods, and he was very good at it, and I was not super good at it, and so I would just try to keep up with him without crashing and dying. And Gatorade Endurance formula for those long days dirt biking was our jam in hot, humid Central Florida. And you know, from that and from using it, you know, in high school, college tennis, you know, I know my body handles endurance formula very well. You know, but for athletes out there, race day is not the day to find out on course if your body likes or dislikes Gatorade Endurance formula. So to your point, Doug, it's great to get it into the training pain cave with you and find out before race day if that's something that agrees with your system or not.
Yeah, the last thing that you want on course is to have GI issues because you haven't figured out what you're doing for nutrition. Because those porta potties are not as close together as you think they are.
Yep, they're not as close together as you think they are. And the deeper you get into the race on race day, the deeper they begin to smell. So yeah, you want to avoid those as much as you can. Hey, I tried to think about this for myself. I was trying to think of, you know, one try item or one try training thing that I haven't talked about yet on the podcast. That's fairly new for me. And, as I'm building towards Ironman Texas, you know, the long rides are getting longer. The long runs are getting longer and kind of a new way I found to kill some of that time, particularly when I'm on in zone two on a bike ride indoors on the trainer is, the chess app. I was a big fan of chess growing up. My grandfather taught me how to play when I was a kid. And I haven't played in years. But I watched The Queen's Gambit on Netflix, which is a tremendous series. And it kind of re-sparked that desire to break out the chess skills and dust them off a little bit. And so, the chess app through the App Store, is a really cool resource for that. While I'm on the bike trainer, I can play someone in real time, wherever they're at in the world. I can take chess lessons. I can do chess puzzles. I can, just while I'm sitting in zone two, you know, sometimes you can take, 10, 15 minutes just kind of looking at the board and deciding what your next move is going to be. And, but before I know it, I've made three or four chess moves and 30 minutes has gone by in zone two on the trainer. And so it's just been a really different way to kind of keep my mind occupied, while I'm sitting there on the trainer. And so if anybody out there is a fan of playing chess, I highly recommend the chess app. Just to kind of kill time during some of those long workouts. Well, that's it for today, folks. I want to thank athlete Adam Cook and his coach Doug Silk for sharing their stories with us today. Shout out to Tri-Bike Transport for partnering with us on today's episode. As you get back to racing this year, head to tribiketransport.com to get your bike to the starting line ready to rock and roll. Have any triathlon questions or topics you want to hear us talk about? Head to tridot.com/podcast to let us know what you're thinking. We've actually had a number of athletes do this lately and have some great topics coming up that were suggested by you, our podcast audience. So keep those rolling in. We'll have a new show coming your way very, very soon. Until then, happy training.
Thanks for joining us. Make sure to subscribe and share the TriDot podcast with your triathlon crew. For more great Tri content and community, connect with us on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. Ready to optimize.